I've teased this guest as early as the first episode of Rise and Come Alive. And now we're meeting Lauren Gentry. She's my close friend and director of campus ministry at a Catholic high school in the Bronx. Lauren shares her path to purpose, from pursuing theater in New York City to the life-changing moment God called her to full-time ministry. We explore one of my greatest takeaways from witnessing Lauren's ministry and how faith is tied to action. Plus, we simply had to talk about when Lauren met a saint's mom. Welcome to Rise and Come Alive, a community for Christian businesswomen. This is our place to connect. Together, we'll explore stories of incredible individuality, authentic femininity, and bold revival. I'm Lauren Sawyer, and as my mom would say, I'm your hostess with the mostest. Here's your invitation to open your mind and heart to new words or ideas. Join me on this journey where we'll learn and support each other. It's time to celebrate living vibrant lives of faith. All right, the one and only Lauren Gentry, director of campus ministry at a Catholic high school in the Bronx, public speaker, and the other Lauren that is my sidekick at all times that people sometimes confuse me with, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm so glad to have you here. Welcome.
Yes, thank you for having me.
We're going to teach people the difference, but first the similarities.
This is true.
Both from
Nebraska, the good life.
Our moms are both named
Kathy,
and we both live in
New York City,
in the borough of
Queens.
So, you know, gotta love that. Yes. We originally met when a mutual friend, shout out to Janet.
We love you, Janet.
Amen. Came up to me and said, Lauren, do you know that there is another Lauren who goes here who is from Nebraska? And I'm like, if she is also a journalist, I'm going to have an identity crisis.
I remember looking you up on Facebook and we had maybe a couple mutual friends. And I was like, I don't think I know her.
Yeah, but what you said to Janet.
Jokingly. Emphasis on jokingly.
It's very true. Is that I don't think I would know her. She went to the rival school.
As a joke. I made a joke.
I know. But so in the game of telephone that ensued, I was like, what a weird thing for that girl to bring up. Why would she care that she went to the Catholic school and I went to the public school?
Which I definitely didn't care.
Right.
I just had been to your high school many times for football games and choir competitions.
I know. It's a delightful thing to relive our like would-be cross paths.
Yes.
But thank goodness, eventually this did happen. Yes. And I remember seeing you give a talk like you do for a youth day for the New York Archdiocese upstate. Yes. I was volunteering and you even talked about high school. And I was like, okay, so like maybe I should just introduce myself to this girl. It was probably in like late 2019. I'm like, you know, she seems nice. Like there's probably no reason not to be friends with her.
Correct.
So I literally like look at my other friend and I'm like, we should talk to Lauren. Like she's standing right there with these other people. She's right here. Like we should say hi.
Yes. It was great. And even in my talk, it wasn't like I was like, yes, and there was this rival school. No.
That's true. I know. I quickly learned the error of my ways.
It's okay.
Yeah. And the PSA that I've come to give everyone is do not let the ridiculous, like, feud that is based on no actual facts ever enter your heart, because like that's not from God.
Correct. Amen.
Yeah. But thinking of blessings that are from God, what's a simple pleasure that's bringing you joy right now?
Can I say two?
Yeah. Of course.
So it is fall. So I'm loving all things fall. I am that girl. Everything pumpkin and all my decorations is a joy. Also going for walks in my neighborhood. Spent a lot of peace in that and a lot of joy. Yeah.
It's really nice. Maybe we are the same person because my simple pleasure is baking.
Yes.
And in the fall, I was like, oh, I haven't baked in so long. I was like, gotta do it. I'm gonna make something pumpkin.
And I started creating my own pumpkin protein muffin recipe because I was displeased with all of them on the internet. So thank you for also tasting batch number one.
Yes, they were great.
Thank you. It's only up from here, though. We're going to adjust the moisture.
It's okay. It's okay. I do make pumpkin cupcakes and I have a secret recipe. I have not made them yet, but I will.
I look forward to this.
Yes.
So that's my simple pleasure. What is a habit that helps you rise?
Habit that helps me rise is going to mass as many days of the week as possible and receiving the Eucharist just really anchors my life in every way.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a great habit and so nice that the school offers that every day. To be honest,
yes.
When I went to Catholic school as a very little Lauren, just only for preschool, kindergarten, first grade, I don't recall that we had that.
Yeah. I mean, my high school had it, but like people didn't go. People didn't know about it. So it's a huge blessing. We have it every day and a lot of students go too.
Yeah, praise God.
A lot of days there's more students than staff in there, which is awesome.
So my habit, I picked this out of appreciation for our friendship as well, is making cappuccino in the morning.
Yes.
I did the math. I bought the cheapest cappuccino maker I could find. Do not feel like you need the quality of cappuccino maker that people register for weddings. As a single lady, take it upon yourself. PSA, get a cappuccino maker. It's a beautiful like tradition in the morning, a little bit of a ritual. I like, and whenever I'm tempted to like walk to a coffee shop, I'm like, okay, well, I can literally make a cappuccino. So it's also good to prevent me from doing that. And then, you know, I also get to joke about the quality of the latte art I'm making.
Yes. Yes. Which is wonderful. Today's cappuccino art was Snowdrift.
Forget hearts. Forget. What else do they like to make?
Flowers.
Flowers.
Sometimes like a leaf.
Animals. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Indistinct white plumes of foam.
Yes.
It's like the Rorschach test for your coffee.
It's true.
Yeah.
So Snowdrift.
Mm-hmm. And also shout out to John McLaughlin.
Yes.
Who will never listen to this, but we love him. So that is our that's our little inside joke. But look at his Instagram. He makes great latte art and we're learning from the best.
And he's also a wonderful singer, first and foremost. But he makes reels of his latte art as a joke. So
that's a really good disclaimer, too. I was like assuming people already knew this. But if you didn't know, the real reason to love and adore John McLaughlin is his gift for music.
Yes, amen.
And speaking of music, what is a song that helps you come alive?
It's very difficult because there are many and there are always playlists that I am making. I would say House of Miracles by Brandon Lake. It's a great song that is joyful and uplifting that I just love to praise to. Even in my apartment by myself. But also, it just reminds me that like the Lord is abundant and he has so many miracles for us and he still does miracles today.
Yeah, I love that. It was a big song for me in the pandemic. And even just thinking about the concept of the domestic church and how our homes are a place of worship.
Yes.
Love that.
Yes.
Which we'll get back to this, but that's another reason I wanted to be your friend so bad is because you make your home a place of worship.
I do.
Teaser. My song, I had to go with something off of Ed Sheeran's Autumn Variations album. It just came out. And I think what's super cool about this, I don't know if you know this, I probably told you if you do, is every song was written for a specific one of his friends.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think it's a great concept.
Yeah, that's really special.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of even what I try to do with this podcast is like the idea of like, okay, if like one person benefited from it, tell the story of one person at a time. It's such like a, it's a beautiful way to create art and I love that he did it. I have not listened to it enough to really break down every song. I know what my favorite is, but right now I would say the one that stands out is Head Then Heels. That's the one. Shout out to Ed Sheeran because I just love that he tells good stories in his music. So it's not, it's more of a mellow tune, but I appreciate a good story.
Love it.
What's the story of how you came to New York? That's where I want to start.
Good segue. All right. Story of how I came to New York. So I have lived in New York City for 8.5 years now, which is wild to think about. That like, that's such a long time. So when I was in college, I studied theater and I was focused in performance. And then for my thesis, I studied drama therapy, which I loved. So I was specifically focusing on how theater could help recently resettled refugees and asylum seekers to process trauma and to have like a safe space to share their story, to emotionally process what they've been through. So when I was a junior in college, I had two options. I could apply for a summer program that would allow me to live on campus all summer and research for my thesis and make a good chunk of money, or I could get out in the field and get some hands-on experience. So me being me, I chose the crazy option, which was giving up that opportunity on campus to go out and get some hands-on experience, which I'm very glad I did. So that ended up being an internship in New York the summer before my senior year of college. I had never been to New York ever.
Wow.
And I was terrified. I even Googled how to ride the subway.
I wish I knew this. Oh my gosh, we should have met in Nebraska because I made a Google Doc of how to move to New York City for one of my friends who moved from Nebraska.
So, I mean, I did all the research because my parents thought I was a little crazy for doing this because I had to like pay rent and find a place to live. And so I ended up living in like a women's dorm type place on the Upper West Side, which was a great neighborhood. But I Googled how to ride the subway. I didn't know anyone other than the people that interviewed me. Mm-hmm. And at 20 years old, I came to New York for a summer, expecting to hate it, to be honest. Mm. Expecting like, this will be fun. I'm 20. But then not only did I love the work I was doing, but there was this crazy peace from God. It can only be from God. That I just had this deep sense that God was calling me to move to New York. And that even at that time, I didn't fully know why, and I'm still discovering why. And so I went home from that internship and told my parents, I'm going to move to New York right after I graduate. And they were like, what? But I did. I moved 2 weeks after I graduated. And I spent that first year doing theater. I was in a couple shows. I was continuing to do the drama therapy work. But really, I had since high school spent a good chunk of my free time doing ministry. In high school, I was involved with campus ministry and I helped started to lead retreats and just really loved it. And so when I moved to New York, it was the same thing. I was helping lead worship for young adult events. I started giving talks at different places. And I'll never forget, there was an event at St. Patrick's Cathedral where I was helping run the confession line and adoration was going on. And I had a great view of Jesus in the Eucharist. And I just had this like tug on my heart from the Lord. I just really sensed him clearly speaking to me saying like, I want you to do ministry full time. And I was like, whoa.
Yep.
I was like, okay, but Jesus, I have to pay my rent and New York rent is expensive. And Jesus, I don't have a theology degree. And Jesus, like, can I even get paid to do ministry like full time with my life? And I said, you know what, Lord, if you want me to do this, of course I will. Mm-hmm. It's the easiest yes. And so I ended up applying for more jobs in theater and applying for jobs in ministry. And then all the theater jobs fell through mm-hmm. in like crazy ways. Mm-hmm. And then I got a job at a parish as a youth minister.
I love it. Yeah.
And here I am.
That's really beautiful when you say it's the easiest yes, because you had all those questions. There were legitimate concerns and yet yes.
Yeah. I think it just came from like that peace that I've always had here. You know, granted, there's days when the city drives me crazy and I need to get out and go hike in the mountains. But just really being anchored in the Lord and trusting that, like, he's going to take care of me, mm-hmm. you know. And if he wants me to do this, then he's going to make a way. He's going to open the doors. He's going to provide every single thing that I need. Because if that's his will, if that's his plan for me, then it's going to be better than anything else that I could come up with, you know?
And yeah. It's interesting because it reminded me of two things. One, when you said the jobs fell through in crazy ways, because when I was applying for colleges, all of my applications fell through in crazy ways, except for one, including but not limited to a teacher who wouldn't let me miss dissecting pigs in my biology lab and a snowstorm that shut down the interstate.
Yeah, see, there you go.
And at a certain point, I was like, I give up. I will stop trying to go to any other colleges. I got it, God. I would go to Hastings College.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just so beautiful. It's like, yeah, sometimes the Lord makes it abundantly clear in ways that, you know, we can't come up with, but...
And I knew it was the Lord because I actually specifically had said a prayer because I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to make this decision on my own. I'm pretty indecisive. It takes me a long time to make decisions. Although once I do, I'm very clear on my why, my yes. That's part of why it takes so long. And then I don't change my mind. Maybe I'm open to learning, but I generally don't change my mind. So I was like, I'm going to need help. And then I was like, okay, well, that was helpful.
Yeah. It was just something so beautiful about really that moment of saying, okay, Lord, I can't do this, but you can. And like, you take care of this. That like true surrender, whether it comes from a place of desolation or just, you know, hope against all hope in him, you know, that we're like, okay, Jesus, I want what you want.
And then the other point that I think stood out to me is you applied for both jobs. For theater and ministry. Like, I think it's important that, like, you have to still be putting yourself out there. Like, people think, like, oh, I'm worried about not following the path that God has for me in my life. And it's like, you actually can't screw that up.
Right, exactly. And also, like, God wants us to take steps, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't really know that something is the right decision until you've taken a step in that direction. Like, God's not just going to be like, oh, like, here's the perfect thing and it's going to be great right away. Like, even when I started youth ministry at the parish I was at for 6 years before working now in the Bronx, those first few months I was like, okay, Jesus, like, help me figure this out, you mm-hmm. know? And just really leaning on him. And I think making decisions and from that place of surrender is an opportunity to just lean on him and to really rely on him for everything we need and to like take time to listen to him and to pray and to say, okay, like, Lord, what do you want for this? Like, and the Holy Spirit comes through on that. Like, the Holy Spirit will put things on my heart and guide me when I take that time to pray. But sometimes if we just keep going and going and going, then we don't really listen. And you know, God will get us there, of course, but just walking with the Holy Spirit intentionally in everything that we do changes everything.
Amen. And I would love so much to hear more about your time at the parish. For one thing, the group that you led called Daughters of the King.
Yes. So close to my heart. So I was blessed to be the director of youth ministry at a parish in Queens for 6 years, which... most youth ministers stay a very short time at a parish for various reasons, but it was such a blessed place to really get my start in full-time ministry. Great community, great boss, shout out Father O'Connor, great teens. And I really got to start it kind of from scratch. They didn't really have a lot of youth ministry going on, which I've learned that the Lord puts me in those places because that's also what happened at the high school. But more on that later. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, I was running youth nights every week, retreats, lots of worship nights, and they're called XLTs. It's just a fancy way of saying adoration and worship. And yeah, Daughters of the King. So Daughters of the King. We also had Warriors of the King, which was the guys' version. But it was a teen girls group, a real sisterhood, I would say, in the truest sense, not like in a cheesy way, that was focused and rooted in theology of the body from St. John Paul II. And it was really a chance to tell these girls everything that I wish I had been told at 13. Mm-hmm. Where, hey, your identity, your worth is as a beloved daughter of God. And here's how to really live in that and embrace that. We talked about what real beauty is versus like what the world says beauty standards are. I could rant about that for a whole other podcast. And we talked about the beautiful call that we have to honor the dignity of our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit and to live out a life of chastity. Mm-hmm. And we talked about dating. Those were the fun sessions where they asked all their questions about dating. But it was really beautiful. And at the end, the girls had the invitation. They were not forced to make a promise of purity and to get a ring and celebrate with mass. And it was awesome seeing like the girls kept coming back to do it again and again and again.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest takeaways I've had of even just seeing your journey in ministry is the aspect of invitation. You're not going to get you can't make anyone have faith or like have certain values. Like you can present it to them, you can show them the goodness in it, but they have to come to agreement on their own.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very intentional about using inviting language, even when I'm like leading a retreat for, let's say, like confirmation kids or adults or whoever, and I'm leading them in a prayer experience. I invite them to, you know, open their hands if they want to open their hands. And I invite them to, you know, talk to Jesus. See, it's that invitation is so key because with all matters of faith, like we have to take that step. We have to decide, you know, and I just invite and pray and hope that they'll take that step.
Amen.
Yeah.
I try to be a big inviter. I started saying like to know me is to be my friend, and to be my friend is to be invited.
I love that. That is so you. That's so you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I think it was definitely from a place of scarcity and fear when I lived my life in a stage that was like, this group of friends cannot meet this other group of friends. Mm. Because when I've fallen out with the first group of friends, I want to still have my backup group of friends, you know? And so maybe they knew of each other, but this was like not commingled. And now it's like, we're all getting together.
I think that's something you do very well. Like you have a gift from God for that. It's like bringing people together and inviting people and like making sure everyone gets connected and knowing, you know, that they belong.
Thank you.
And that's something super important to me, too.
Yeah, I remember thinking when I was first moved to New York and I read a book where it was mentioned like everyone in their friend group should have a connector. And I remember thinking, yeah, that'd be nice. And then, and then we're laughing because over time I was like, wait, it's me.
Yeah, that is you.
But I didn't know that when I first moved here because I didn't know that many people. And it took time to kind of find that role in life. And as I met more people and was excited about introducing them to other people, then I was like, oh, okay, this is who I am.
Yeah. I mean, you're so good at connecting that when I first met you and you invited me to speak for an event that I thought you worked for the Archdiocese.
Common misconception.
Because you were so good at connecting.
Thank you.
And also just great at event planning. But yeah.
Yeah, thank you. You're not the first and you will not be the last. But I do a fair amount of volunteering with the New York Archdiocese. They had asked me to help plan a women's event, which was truly providential because it was in May of 2020.
Yeah.
So it moved from in-person to virtual. And I was like, well, fun fact, given that I'm a producer, we can make a virtual event. We don't have to cancel it. Yeah, God knew what he was doing.
It was really special.
And I was like, have you guys heard of Lauren Gentry? It was my moment. I was like, we're bringing her into the fold. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also knew through the grapevine that you were having these praise and worship nights at your own home. So outside of your work at the parish, you were doing ministry work yourself.
Yeah. So when I got my current apartment about 5 years ago, it was my first place that was on my own without roommates. And I was so blessed the way that the Lord lined that up and St. Joseph hardcore interceded for it was that I ended up getting an apartment that was newly renovated that was like the same price as an apartment in the same building that was not. And it had this beautiful open living room that was like separate from a kitchen, which is rare in the city. And I remember thinking like, okay, Lord, you've gifted me this apartment and I want to use it as a space for praise. And I'm grateful that it very much is. Now, like I said, I sing and blast worship music on my own and praise on my own. But yeah, I started hosting worship nights at my apartment. And again, inviting many people from all over to come. And it was really beautiful and powerful because I definitely have a heart for revival. I definitely love worship, love praying in the Holy Spirit. And there's so much power there that has changed my life. And I want everyone to experience that and experience the Lord in that way. So yeah, there were some times we'd have like 25, 30 people in there. And some people would be like in the entryway of my apartment because we didn't have enough room. But praise God. Yeah,
absolutely. I love it. It was so inspirational to me that I literally prayed for my apartment to have a place to have people over and praise God. And I was like, I want a table so we can do Bible studies. Haven't done that. We're recording the podcast on the table. Yes. I want to have a roof to have people over. And then we came full circle and together hosted a praise and worship night this year.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Overlooking Manhattan.
Great rooftop. Yeah.
Thank you.
Really special.
I'll do more to promote these on the podcast.
There we go.
If you're listening and didn't hear about it, I'm sorry. My marketing didn't quite do the job, but it was on Instagram. Move to New York City if you haven't. No, just kidding.
Well, if the Lord calls you.
I know, exactly.
If you come here for an internship and you have peace, I mean.
What's funny is when I first moved to New York, I really didn't have like I wanted to move here, but I didn't totally have peace about moving here, but I still knew it was what I was supposed to do.
So yeah.
Didn't totally have peace, did it anyway. Here we are.
Here we are. God is good.
And you're currently in the Bronx now.
I am.
And you founded this role and it's going super well. Even the Cardinal has been bragging about it. So
yeah, I'm kind of still blown away by that. So yes, I am the director of campus ministry at this awesome Catholic high school in the Bronx. It's my second year there. And again, they didn't have a campus minister before. They just, the theology department, God bless them, would just make things happen. And they were really spread thin because they were teaching. And so, again, yeah, my mission has been invitation. My office is very cozy and has lots of couches and snacks and coffee and tea and hot chocolate. And it's a space for the students to come and talk about what's going on in their life or if they need prayer or if they have theology questions. And so it's been really cool to see lots of conversions happening, like students that were not Catholic and didn't have any faith that one got baptized last year. I already have a bunch that are going to get baptized this year and receive sacraments and, you know, just seeing them fall in love with Jesus in the Eucharist. But yeah, we had Cardinal Dolan come and say our opening mass, which was really special. And apparently I keep hearing stories that everywhere he goes, he's talking about the school, which I'm glad that we left a good impression on him because that was my hope.
Yeah,
that he would see the faith of our students and staff. And it was great.
I think it's interesting to point out that this is a Catholic school where really probably even a significant amount of the students are not Catholic.
Yeah, it's about 50% of the students are Catholic. And within that 50%, I would say about 40% are really practicing going to Mass regularly. So it's cool to see. And it's a very diverse school just culturally also, which I love. That is just one of my favorite things about the city. And you know, hearing people's stories and their journeys and seeing what the Lord does in their lives is incredible.
From Nebraska, but can hang in the Bronx.
Yeah, the boogie down Bronx, as they say, you know.
And speaking of just like the exciting diversity, you had an incredible day recently with the visit of a saint's mom.
Yeah, I still can't get over it. And I'm still like, was this real? Did this happen? So we were so blessed that the Archdiocese of all the schools they could have chosen chose our school to host the mother of Blessed Carlo Acutis. So she came all the way from Italy. She was doing some events in New York and she wanted to come to a high school because her son died at 15 and, you know, really lived his faith as a teenager in powerful ways that now make him a saint. So it was awesome. She's such a mom. She came in like ready to go, had her, you know, coat on, and she was just like, I'm ready. But I loved the way that she is carrying out Carlo's legacy, right? And I guess just a little bit of background on Blessed Carlo. He was born in 91, so he's our first millennial saint, which Yay, shout out to all the millennials. Pretty cool. And he went to mass every single day. He prayed the rosary every single day. He went to adoration as many days as he possibly could. And he was a pretty ordinary boy. Like, he loved playing video games. He liked playing Mario Kart and Halo, which is fun. He played soccer, but his mom said that he wasn't very good.
The brutal honesty of a mother.
She actually used the word catastrophe. I don't know if that was the English-Italian translation or if she really meant it that way, but it was funny. And he actually made a website of Eucharistic miracles because he was all about the Eucharist. He said the Eucharist is his highway to heaven, and he wanted everyone to know the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So much so that in the early 2000s, when we still had dial-up internet, that he made this website. They're still updating it today. So you can Google Blessed Carlo Eucharistic Miracles and you'll see the website. It's pretty sweet.
It is. Yeah. I've talked about this on the podcast before, and I did not consider the fact, though, that that's how old it is. So I love that you bring up that's when we had dial-up. It's like, oh, yeah, like that was not the days of WordPress and Squarespace when anyone could make a website.
Right.
You had to really learn how to do that. He taught himself how to code.
He taught himself how to code when he was 9, his mom said, which is wild. That would have been the year 2000. Like, crazy. Anyway,
so I was lucky to know how to type in 2000.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the visit was so special. I loved the way that she spoke to my students. I loved seeing them inspired by her. I loved that she was just so passionate about the Eucharist and that she was just like really encouraging the students to make the Eucharist the center of their life and to live out their faith, and that the goal of our life is to get to heaven, and that all of us should have that desire at the forefront of all of our decisions and everything that we do. And she was so sweet too, because she took the time to like really talk to any students that wanted to talk to her, that she spent time encouraging them, and she wanted to know where they came from and what their faith was and hear their story. She straight up told one of my students to make it his mission to tell his classmates about Eucharistic miracles. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
I love it so much. Like, woman on a mission.
Yeah.
And truly on a mission, because she did 3 speaking engagements in one night.
The night after she flew in from Italy, and I'm sure was very jet lagged.
But on a lighter note, what I love is what got a little lost in translation for sure when she took the time to take these pictures and get to know the kids.
Oh, yes. This is funny. So, yeah, we were taking pictures and she was like, okay, sausages. Because she thought that Americans say sausages for pictures, not say cheese. But then that just all made us laugh even harder, and we got some great pictures out of it.
It's truly wonderful. And the picture, she's literally still wearing the coat she walked in with, still wearing her handbag. Yeah. Like, she walked in and was like, I am ready.
Yeah.
She was no breather.
Like, I'm good. I was like, because they were running a little late too. So I was like, oh, like, you know, we can hold, like, you know, we had kids in the auditorium already, but I was like, we can get you food. We had lunch ready for them. We can get you food. We can get you water. Here, let me take your coat. No, I'm good.
Incredible. Absolutely.
She's
incredible.
Very chill. I also love, this was funny, that she had called the Archdiocese contact the morning of and asked if our high school would have a good cappuccino for them. And I was like, oh, I'm very sorry. We're a high school in the Bronx. We do have coffee. Definitely not a cappuccino.
That was our other cappuccino tie-in.
There we go.
Absolutely. I saw this coming and full circle with the cappuccino, man.
It's great.
So also, in addition to all of this, as if you weren't busy enough, Lauren.
Yes.
You also do public speaking.
I do.
And wanted to touch on that a little bit. To me, what's on my brain is, what is your goal generally going into these events? Like, what's on your heart?
Yeah, so I speak for a lot of different things. I do a lot of youth retreats, since that's, you know, the field I work in with my full-time job. I also speak for adult conferences and retreats and things too. My mission is always for people to encounter Christ, Right. And if they've already encountered Christ in various ways, that they'll encounter him in a deeper way.
Yeah.
And that they'll open their hearts to being transformed. A lot of the retreats I do focus on identity in Christ, because that's everything. And like the Father's love, because that's everything. Everything flows from that. And every single day, every single moment, we need to be reminded of our identity in God. Because when we lose sight of that, then things get really dicey and messy, you know? And we all struggle with that, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot of like renewal of the mind as well, as St. Paul writes in scripture, that when we see things from heaven's perspective, ourselves, our circumstances from heaven's perspective, and we focus on like declaring the truths of who God is and who he says we are and staying rooted in his promises, then it's a game changer in our lives. And that's something that I learned a little later than I wish I had in my life. And I just am so passionate about sharing that with everyone, because I've seen so many hearts transformed by these truths. And this is not because of any skills I have as a speaker. It's all the Lord and what he does, you know, and how he moves when people are open to him.
Yeah. Super beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
We could end on that note, but I'm curious if there's anything else that's still on your heart to share.
I mean, I could talk for hours about Jesus. I guess I would just say to whoever's listening, from my heart to yours, I'm praying for you. And just that, take that time to talk to God. Take that time to open your heart. Take that time to tell him what's going on in your life, like you would talk to your best friend, and to declare the truth of who he is and who he says you are, and be intentional about it, because it really does change things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you, Lauren.
You're so welcome.
Well, fancy seeing you here. I love your dedication to listening to every second. So I've got an insider tip for you. Sign up for the email list with the link in the description and subscribe to Rise and Come Alive today. I'll drop surprise episodes and you will be the first to know. My way to say thank you.